We all know that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. And yet it's easy for us sometimes to forget exactly what faith is. And if you are children, if you are coming up in a Christian home, you come up where you are surrounded with talk of the Bible, talk of God, talk of the gospel, talk of faith. And you might wonder exactly what faith is. Well, Paul, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And you may wonder, well, exactly what does that mean? And then he gives us an example. One of the first fruits of faith is this. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, if you have somebody who is a complete unbeliever, maybe they have come up in a completely unchristian or pagan environment, the first thing that faith is going to do is begin to, for them to realize, it is going to dawn on them that they are not alone in the world. And this world did not just happen. This world was created. And they're going to have a sense that they were created for some sort of a relationship with the God who made this world. It tells James tells us in chapter 2 of his epistle, he says, even the demons believe and tremble. And he recited the great central confession of Israel in the Old Testament. He says, you believe there is one God. In other words, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's only one true God. That's what they were confessing. Well, James says, if you're simply believing that there is only one true God, even the demons believe that. They know that. He says, they tremble. So simply believing that certain things are true, even if those things are in fact true, is not biblical faith. It is not saving faith, because biblical faith is a faith that begins to turn you to a person. And that person is the living God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, Paul describes, it's Luke describing Paul's ministry as they're preaching in different places. And he said that Paul was testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is a faith that turns you toward God and toward Christ. Repentance means to turn around. It means you've been facing away from God. You've been living life self-sufficiently. You've been acting as your own God, determining things according to your own reason, your own thoughts, your own desires. And you realize that you were created for a relationship with God. You've been walking away from him. Repentance means you turn to him. From whatever way you've been facing, you turn to God. And that goes along with faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a faith, it is a trust in a person. As it says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This turning to God and this turning to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ also represents a turning away from yourself. It is a recognition that you are not sufficient for these things. It is a recognition that left to yourself, you're lost. You're empty. Life is meaningless. There is no point to anything. And it is a recognition that you cannot look within yourself and have any kind of fulfillment, meaning, purpose, let alone blessing, joy, and salvation. In the Old Testament, this was pictured one time when the people had been guilty of idolatry. And it says God sent fiery serpents among the people. They were biting the people. The people were dying. And God tells Moses to erect on a pole a brazen serpent or a brazen dragon that goes up on this pole. And God says that when anyone looks to that, then they will be healed. Now, we know that this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ because Jesus himself says early in his ministry that as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, that whoever looked to him will be saved. Now, you can picture yourself in the desert. You've been bitten by one of these snakes or exactly whatever they were, but you're going to die. And now God is telling you to look at this brazen serpent on this pole. Now, from one sense, that could seem to you to be ridiculous. But the point is, you have to look away from yourself and your devices. You have to believe the word that's being said to you. You have to look unto Jesus Christ. You have to look away from yourself. Proverbs 3:7 says, don't be wise in your own eyes. And that's one of the things that true faith does. All of a sudden, you don't think you're so smart as you did before. You don't think you're so wise. You don't think you're so self-sufficient anymore. You don't think you have the answers anymore. And so you turn to the one who does. You turn to God. Now, one of the things that's important about Christian faith is to recognize that faith is not always 100%. It's true faith, but faith can be weak. Faith can wane, and that is a common experience for those who have been Christians for a long time. There are different times you go through different trials, and a lot of times the tough thing about trials is not just the trial itself, it's when it persists. It's when it drags on. And as it drags on, you can begin to get weakened. And part of the test is believing God in the midst of the protracted hardship. We see in Mark chapter 9, though, one who knew that their faith, they had faith, but it was weak. It was a father who had a child who was demon-possessed, and Jesus says, do you believe? If you believe, basically anything can be accomplished. Now, Jesus is not saying that he is somehow dependent upon this man's belief to give him the power to heal this child. What he is saying is he has that power. Does this man have the faith in Jesus to not only have this miracle be done, but also more indeed? And the father says, Lord, I believe, I do believe, but my belief is weak. He says, help my unbelief. And sometimes as Christians, we have to be honest, we find ourselves in that circumstance. And when that is true, we need to do exactly what this man does. Don't try to just suck it up and soldier on. God knows what's going on anyway in your heart. Go to him and say, Lord, you know I believe, but I'm struggling. Help my unbelief. Now, when you pray that prayer, what's the next thing you do? The next thing you do is you show that you believe in the God that you've just prayed to by turning to where that God tells you your faith will be strengthened. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God, the scriptures, that truth that is there is what God uses by the Spirit to build faith within you. You see, we cannot have faith of ourselves. We cannot just make ourselves believe something. God works it into us. He evokes it into us. If I meet you and you're a complete stranger, and I say, you're probably not going to ask me to hold your wallet. And if I say, oh, I'll hold your wallet, trust me. It's like, well, you hear my words, you hear what I'm saying, but you can't make yourself believe that I'm trustworthy because you don't know me. But if you get to know me and over a period of time I show that I'm trustworthy, the way that I act, the way that I live is going to evoke faith out of you. And then it is a different matter. Or you can think about an object. Let's say I take a bunch of saran wrap here and I make a chair out of it. So you got a chair here made out of saran wrap. I say, come sit in my chair. It'll hold you up. Trust me. It'll hold you up. Trust the chair. You're going to have real difficulty doing that. Why? Because you know the properties of saran wrap. It's not going to support your weight. On the other hand, if I have a chair that's made out of wood, you know the properties of wood, the faith is evoked from you, you trust it. This is the same thing that God does with us and Christ does with us through the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit. Through the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit, God reveals himself to us. He shows us who he is. He shows us what he's done. He shows us who we are. He shows us what's true. He speaks to us words of comfort and of salvation and saying trust. And as we get to know him through the Scriptures, that faith and trust is evoked from us. So the Scriptures is where we turn when our faith is weak. First, we pray to God. We say, Lord, I believe, you know I do. But you know my faith is weak. I'm struggling right now. Help me, strengthen me. And then you turn to where God says he is going to help you. Now, the hard part is this. When you're in a situation like that where your faith is struggling and your arms are dragging, you're just kind of going along, you know how sometimes when you're sick and you just don't feel like eating, but you need to eat. It's the same kind of thing. We can get in a spiritual condition where we need to turn to the Word of God, but what's the one thing you're not going to feel like doing? You're not going to feel like opening the Scriptures at that moment. And again, we need to believe what God says. Pick up and read, as Augustine heard the little children singing. Pick up and read. And so he picked up the Scriptures. I can remember when I was in college as a new Christian, and I was going to, it was a pretty intellectual college, a lot of intellectual emphasis, and I had to take philosophy. And these philosophy professors and other ones would just twist things and turn them around so much and everything. And it would trouble me tremendously the way they would do all this stuff. And again, I hadn't been a Christian all that long. Now, I still believed, but they would set my heart completely in turmoil as they would tell all of these lies. And of course, I wasn't as smart as they were. I didn't know all the ins and outs of philosophy of then. Now I would be much better equipped to deal with it. But I can remember being in so much turmoil coming back to my dorm room, and I'd be trying to sort out all of these things in my head and work things out. And finally, out of exhaustion almost, out of desire to just make my brain stop and my heart to stop churning, I would just pick up the Bible and I would just start reading. And I remember one time sitting there and reading the entire Gospel of John in one sitting, just reading. Another time I did the whole book of Romans, just reading. And what I found is that what I could not do with my own thoughts, God could do by his Spirit through his Word. Because even if I couldn't debate all those philosophy professors, as I read through this and the Spirit spoke to me, I said, you know, I know one thing is true. This is true. This is true. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sin, and he was raised from the dead, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. This is true. The Christians in the first century didn't die because they had a new mystery cult with a new religious experience. They died because of the truth of the resurrection, because it was true. And I knew it was true. And you know it is true. And this is where you turn, young people, adults. You turn to the Scriptures prayerfully to let God speak to you by the Spirit and to reveal himself to you so that your trust and your faith are strengthened. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.